Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Go check out the new episode. It's on YouTube. Joining me is a wonderful, talented, safe and sound man. It's Ronnie Karam from Rose Prick's Batch Roast Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
How is staying at home treating you right now?
Oh, just loving it, having the time of my life. Actually, I am having fun. It is weird being stuck and like not being able to go to Home Goods and stuff, mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm having fun and being very productive. I'm organizing my cabinets and talking to myself and making Nancy videos.
Great.
So, life.
There is like, I will say like a small silver lining that I'm finding is that by removing all the clutter of whatever obligations there are outside the house, you know, like haircuts and useless shopping like Home Goods, etc. I do find that I have more time to do things. So, by the way, I have been delinquent on putting out the new newsletter. So my plan is tomorrow to get the newsletter, at least get that ball rolling, you know. And, you know, it's been fun cooking shit all the time. There's definitely been an upside to hunkering down, I think.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of cooking too, and I've been doing a lot of YouTube cooking video watching. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think the sad thing is, I'm definitely going through my food much faster than I anticipated. So that's like a little stressful. But
I'm gonna be 9,000 pounds. I'm gonna be 9,000 fucking pounds. Like I cannot stop. It doesn't even matter what it is. It's like the lamest shit ever because you can't go to the grocery store, you know? So it's like, maybe I'll have some potatoes with some, what else do I have in here? Some mayonnaise and chocolate chips. Sounds great. All right. It's a great snack. You know, it turns out if you like to binge, it doesn't matter what you're binging on. It's food and you can eat it.
Yeah.
You can still gain 900 pounds. It's amazing.
I know. I am just, I just could feel my clothes tightening around me and just all the carbs, just nothing but carbs. And the first week I was like, you know, I know I'm taking on a lot of carbs, but I'm also not eating out as much. And I actually think that like even eating carbs at home a lot is better than eating out meals, you know, et cetera. I was like trying to rationalize that like by cutting out all the food that I normally get ordered in or go out to eat, that I'm actually eating healthier overall. But then today I woke up and my shirt was like, and I'm like, uh-oh, but there's nothing I can do about it. It's coronavirus. But that being said, just a public service announcement. People, stay home, okay? Stay the fuck home. I don't want to hear any excuses. Like, literally, the only excuse is you have to go to the grocery store or the pharmacy. Don't want to hear anything else. Or you're an essential employee. Because this weekend, I went on to Instagram unrolled this new sticker. Did you see this? The sticker that says, stay home. And basically, when you use that sticker on your IG posts, it's like a tag. And so, like, it shows up on your feed. Like, you can click on everyone who used the sticker, right? Yeah. So I clicked on it. I was like, what is this? And the first thing I see is three muscle gays crammed together in a Jeep, and they are headed to like Venice Beach to do a beach workout because they're going to be socially distant because they're working out on a beach, but they're crammed together in this Jeep together, shirtless, great bodies, of course, but shirtless. So like, I'm not a doctor, but I imagine that's like more opportunities for sweat and things to wick off of you. And they put the thing that says stay home. I'm like, you are literally not even home. You're actually doing the exact opposite. You're in a Jeep, huddled together shirtless. And you're using the stay home? I mean, please. Yeah.
They just need to have a stay shirtless thing for the gays, you know? Stay hot.
Stay shirtless. I mean, I'm okay with that. Stay shirtless, stay hot. But like, how about stay smart too? You know, And then I Runyon Canyon, you know, I went on, I was like, because I saw enough stupid IG stories where people were putting stay home while they were out in public with other people. I was like, do you guys not even realize what that sticker means? Do you not understand English language? Stay home. And so I went to click on the tag or the location for Runyon Canyon just to see all the Instagram posts. And it's just like post after post after post of people proudly declaring that they're staying there. I'm being socially distant. I'm 6 feet away, socially distant. I'm like, do you realize that while you're saying that you're socially distant, all the people around you are also declaring that they're socially distant? And if you all turned around, you'd realize you're all next to each other declaring that you're socially distant. I mean, it just drives me nuts.
Oh, good. At this point, I'm just worried about keeping my own damn family inside. It's like, okay, golf is not socially distant. Okay. No. Playing canasta with your friends, not being socially distant. Okay. Let's all just relax.
Maybe people are confusing emotional distance with social distance. Okay. But honestly, like, don't be cavalier about this. If your community is like kind of chill right now and you're lucky enough to not have a big outbreak, that's great, but it's going to probably come to you and you need to stay socially distant so that way the communities that are really suffering, that have like explosions of cases, can pull resources from you guys to help over there. Okay, so everyone just like sit the fuck down, watch some TV. We'll be here to recap it for you. That's what we do. Stay inside, pick up a hobby, organize your cabinets like Ronnie. Like really, it's not that important that you go to Marshall's today.
Yeah, just stay safe, y'all. Well, now let's go to check out the worst virus on Bravo, NeNe Leakes, shall we?
Oh, by the way, we should also mention Andy Cohen came down with coronavirus. That was the big Bravo news that happened between now and our last show. So there, it's impacting our community.
Yeah, it's officially gotten to us.
Yeah.
Andy Cohen called the 911.
We have nothing else to say about it.
Feel better over there. Yeah, I have nothing really to say. I mean, feel better.
Feel better, for sure. Yeah. I hope he's okay. I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Love making fun of you. Don't want you to die. Yeah, that's a good sentiment. So, you know, feel better.
Yeah, for sure. And to anyone who has it.
Yeah, let's go over to Real Housewives of Atlanta, because if I hear about coronavirus for 5 more seconds, I'm going to poke my eyes out, and then I'm going to just be blind. Okay? Can't.
Let's go to the cliffhanger that had us in suspense for an entire week. Will NeNe Leakes throw a peanut?
And why is Kenya Moore calling popcorn a peanut? Anybody else wondered about that all week? It's like, why is she calling that piece of popcorn a peanut? Does she not see it? Is she just avoiding snacks in general so she doesn't know what snacks are on the table? What's really happening?
I think it was basically a low-key gaslighting. She just wanted to gaslight NeNe. NeNe's like, bitch, I have popcorn. That's a peanut. Ha!
And I've been waiting this whole season to see NeNe spit on Kenya, because that's been in the, I don't want to say the news, but, you know, the blogs or whatever. And this was it. She didn't spit at her. Spit. She pretended to spit a popcorn seed at her.
Very small, you know, and honestly, it was a very triggering thing to happen in this age of corona right now, when we're trying to really keep our spit to ourselves. The last thing we really need to see is NeNe fake spitting.
Yeah, because NeNe's corona would be the nastiest. You know, it would be the meanest version of corona. It's like, oh my God, that corona, everybody else, some people got it mild, but God, the NeNe version really hurt my feelings.
The NeNe version wouldn't even admit that it gave it to you. Be like, I did not give it to you. You call me a toxic virus, and then you eat that ice cream, and that ice cream is just as bad for you. It's like, no, you're literally a virus, NeNe Corona.
You'd be like coughing, and then be like, oh my God, that cough sounded like somebody just called me a buffalo. That's so weird.
You're like coughing, and the virus is like, but what about me? What about me, what I'm going through? I'm like, but I'm the one with the cough that you gave me.
Like, doctor, this virus is calling me fat. Is there anything we can do?
It's so funny that the general population was infected about 4 hours ago. Like, yeah, I know. I've got the NeNe virus. It runs about 4.5 hours late.
Oh, God. Okay, so ruined peaches at the ruins party. Please assault me with a peanut. Please go to jail again.
Yeah. So, yeah, she does. And then there's, like, a lot of crosstalk. And Kenya is saying, like, all you do is talk shit. Go away. Go away. And Nina's just going, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you, bitch. And Kenya just starts going, bye, 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 bye.
Yeah, they just keep repeating themselves over and over. And then Nini's doing that thing where she's pretending people have to hold her back while she spends, yeah. while she spits invisible seeds over at Kenya.
Yeah.
And then Nini's like, I'll spit in your fucking face. And she's like, who tries to spit on someone? And then every time something is said, we get another slow-mo shot of Nini spitting an invisible popcorn seed.
I know.
They just keep showing it over and over and over again.
And they include her audio, too. So you hear her going, I'll spit on your motherfucking face. She also says at one point, I guess she has like a pen or something, and she goes, stick this up your dry pussy. And then it cuts to a cat watching.
Yeah, I missed a lot of the terrible stuff that Nini supposedly said while they're screaming over each other, because everyone was like, that was bad what Nini said. Mm-hmm. Because really, it sounded to me like Nini was just doing what she always does when she's up against someone she can't beat. She just screams, fuck you, basically, over and over again. Yeah, she just starts screaming over you. She has nothing really witty to say, but she can be louder and more obnoxious, so...
Yeah, that's Nini's thing. Is she just is loud, and then later on says that she read everyone to filth. But it's like, you were just loud. So
yeah, and then Cynthia's like, the Nini I know is definitely not throwing popcorn and pretending she's going to spit. It's like, what Nini do you know? Yes, that is the Nini you know. It's the same Nini we all know, okay? It's exhausting.
By the way, did you listen for Cynthia's Popeye laugh this week? I hope you did.
I didn't hear it. Okay, I looked for her laugh. No. All I saw when she laughed was her shaking her head, but nothing coming out. Which makes me wonder, do I just have a blind spot to Popeye laughs?
No, she only did it once this episode that I heard. Maybe she did it during the games part, but then there was so much going on that I don't think I was paying attention to that. But keep an ear out, I swear to God.
I felt like they heard you on this show because Kenya started yelling at Nini, okay, Popeye.
That's true. And then Nini tries to explain her behavior. She's like, you know what? In Greece, it's a good thing to be spit on. Okay, we're in Greece.
I've never heard that.
Did not hear that either.
Yeah. So Candy's like, nah, you guys have got to be willing to converse with each other. And Nina's like, look at your friend, don't look at me. And Kenya's like, you're the one assaulting people. And she's like, you will get assaulted by me, bitch. You will know if you get assaulted by me. And then Kenya goes, if you're feeling froggy, then jump.
Yeah, that's. I remember that she did that like a few years ago. And I was like, what does she even mean by that? If you're feeling froggy, I mean, I don't even get that. And then people online were like, Ben, it's a thing that people say. I was like, oh.
I like it. If you're feeling froggy, then jump.
Yeah.
And so Nini just screams, fuck you a lot. And Kenya says, well, the party goes on without you. Know that. And she goes, the party goes on without you, bitch. You know what, bitch? Fuck you, bitch. You dried up, bitch. Bitch, fuck you, bitch.
They're basically having a fight over how well can the show succeed without each one of them, right? And, Kenya, Nini, it's funny because Kenya's like, well, guess what? We've proven that the show can be perfectly good without you, right? Which has been proven. In fact, one of the best seasons was without Nini, which was the season with when Phaedra had that crazy four-part reunion. It was a non-Nini season, right? And then Nini, when she's like, well, the party went on without you, bitch. I'm like, yeah, for one season, and they had to bring back Kenya, Nini. So, good job there.
Yeah, I just think that it can do fine without both of them. And it's like two hypocrites fighting. They just keep screaming, you are. And they're both right, actually.
I feel like...
They're both wrong, and they're both so wrong, but they're also both right because the other person is trash. So
true. I think Nini is more disposable. I think that Nini can be super funny. Even when she annoys me so much, she still has some of the best confessionals. However, the rest of the cast has really come up, especially Portia, to the point where, like, as funny as Nini is, she's not like, it's not like she's an island of comedy on a show of otherwise very boring people. Like, everyone's really funny. They don't need her. And Kenya is just, I just think that Kenya's much better about, she's better about staying in her lane and knowing what her lane is, which is to be awful and to create terrible drama in a way that really moves the show forward.
Yeah. They're both so gross. I just need them both to be gone. And it's like they're both such hypocrites. They just yell at each other for the things the other one does, and they don't even wait for episodes to be hypocrites. They can do it in the same episode. Like, yeah. Now Kenya's like, well, I will not have this talk or whatever. Well, first Nini's trying to leave, right? But yeah. Then later Nini's like, oh, look at Kenya, always leaving. There she goes again. She leaves every fight. But then we get a montage of Nini leaving every fight. And then Kenya leaves again, and then Nini leaves again.
So I know. They're constant leavers. So Marlo takes Nini downstairs, and Tanya's like, I think that we need a time out, okay? We need a time out right now.
And then Portia is trying to calm Kenya down.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's basically getting on Kenya, which Kenya's not the one who started yelling and screaming at people. And I don't like standing up for Kenya, but why are they telling her that she needs to be more forgiving?
Because Nini was the one who initially tried to have some sort of friendly moment with her the night before. I know, you know, I'm going back and forth. I don't even know where I stand on this. Maybe as I discuss it, I'll come up with a better, well, I'll decide how I feel about it. Because I do feel like, on the one hand, Nini was basically saying, put all the bullshit aside, how are you doing? I really do care. And I kind of feel like when someone does that, like, that is nice. That is actually a really nice gesture. But then Kenya's kind of totally right. Because she's like, Nini was being totally fake, and if she weren't being totally fake, then why did she immediately, when I said I didn't want to talk, why did she, the very next night, the very first thing she does is basically say, this is why you got divorced, you know? Like, that's not, someone who wants to, like, be there for you does not say that shit the very next day, right? So I get that, but then I also understand Nini feeling really upset that Kenya totally dissed her gesture, so I don't. I'm more on Kenya's side with this, but it's gray area.
Yeah. Well, Nini only did that because Cynthia made her, like, go up and talk to Kenya.
And she
was
also
not doing it on her own. And then she came up to her before that charity event and tried to make nice, only because she wasn't going to be able to go to this event, and she had to make nice in front of Mark. So, you know.
Well, the charity event, she was fucking with Kenya for sure. She was definitely being super nice because she knew she had the power and she knew that Mark had her back. So she knew it would drive Kenya mad. So she's being over the top nice. But here, I mean, yeah, I think ultimately I'm on Kenya's side because Nini has been attempting to be this new person who's seeing a life coach that she found off of Craigslist and is now like, oh, I'm the calmer, gentler Nini. And this was, I think she was trying to get back on track with that. And Kenya was like, no. And now we're seeing the real Nini again.
Yeah. So they're like, Kenya, why are you even mad? You guys were friends. And Kenya's like, listen, the only thing I'm holding on to and that I still have an issue with is Nini calling my baby a buffalo. And I started laughing so hard. This show is so silly.
I know.
So Portia's like, let me tell you something. That's the same problem I had. She goes, she did not call your baby a buffalo. And she said, she called me a big fat baby elephant.
Yeah. No, piggy face. Big fat piggy face. And then Portia's like, she didn't call your baby a buffalo. She called you a buffalo. And like, that's like the big semantics issue in this episode. It's like, no. Your baby's not a buffalo. You're the buffalo. That's all. But we do see a flashback, and Nini did say she's going to have a buffalo. Although, I mean, it's a cruel thing to say about someone who's pregnant because, you know, you're pregnant. Like, that's what happens.
Yeah,
you get big.
Nini's disgusting. I mean,
it's a cruel thing to say. But at the same time, it's not like saying the baby is a buffalo. She's making an analogy, a cruel analogy to pregnancy, which is really what the issue is.
Saying she's going to have a buffalo. Well, that is calling her baby a buffalo.
Yes. I feel like,
I mean, what do buffaloes give birth to? Chickens? They give birth to buffaloes.
No. By the way, I'm not defending Nini. I think what she said was terrible. I'm like, I can understand that the distinction between if you see a baby and you point at it and say, you're a buffalo, that's like one thing, versus like someone so big, it's like, wow, she's so big, it's like she's going to give birth to a buffalo. I can see how that's like a comment on like, wow, like when people say, wow, she's super pregnant or whatever. Again, I'm not saying this in defense of, but I can understand in Nini's mind why she probably thought that there was a distinction. But either way, like, don't call a pregnant lady, don't say she's having a buffalo.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. That's the kind of person Nini is. She'll call pregnant women fat. I mean, that's where we're at with Nini, okay?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Soccarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Let's run some errands with Emily Arendt.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day, you're out.
The Bay Area betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Lourdes, the Lordess of the Rings.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We like her more than a smidge. It's Kelly Cartledge.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Kelly Stomp, the Stump Master.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Incredible Edible Matthew Sisters.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
And she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
We love you guys.
So, Kenya's like, she said I was pregnant with a buffalo. Who does that? Because Nini has come back now. And she's like, I called you a buffalo. I called you a buffalo. I would never hurt a child.
And then Nini. Yeah, because
look
and
at
then
Nini. Oh, my God.
And then she does this crazy scream apology where she's yelling. She goes, let me tell you something. If I called you a buffalo and it hurt you, I apologize because I don't ever want to hurt another woman. So I apologize. I'm like, why are you screaming this apology right now? It's like in the tone of like, fuck you, bitch. I'm going to throw another popcorn at you. And it is not a peanut. But what she's actually saying is, I apologize that I hurt you or if
no,
I hurt you.
She's saying she apologized if you felt that way. You know, that's a Nini apology, a non-apology. And she goes, and I would never hurt a kid. And you just want to use your kid as sympathy. I was like, you need to work on apologies. You still have not gotten better at that. No. So Portia goes, I'm going to talk.
And Cynthia's like, Kenya.
She goes, did you hear the apology? Because I had to receive the same apology.
And Kenya goes, okay, I will say I received it just so you'll stop. She goes,
now, Kenya, that is passive aggressive.
Kenya does in an imitation of the apology. It's like,
accept my apology, bitch.
Yeah. And then Portia, it's like suddenly it becomes like victims of Nini Anonymous. She goes, she's like,
I too was called fat. But she apologized, and now we're okay.
I'm like, I don't... Just because she apologized to you, and it was a much more meaningful apology, and you have a different relationship with her, it's very different. Like, just because you are called fat does not, and we're okay with it does not mean that Kenya's under on any obligation to feel better about it. And also, in some ways, I would think that what Nini said about Kenya was much more insidious, because Nini called Portia piggy face in the heat of an argument when they were texting. When Kenya showed up at this party, Kenya wasn't doing anything to Nini. She just showed up, and Nini was like, she's going to have a buffalo. That was, like, unprovoked. That was just cold buffalo fat shaming.
Well, she was mad because Cynthia didn't tell her that Kenya was coming. So that was the fight there. So it was a big Kenya surprise. So Nini was very
offended, she was mad.
Reason.
That was, she was mad, but she wasn't in an act of beef with Kenya beyond that she didn't like Kenya, you know?
They were in some Twitter. They were mad at each other for something on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, there was a Twitter thing. Remember? Yeah.
So then Forrest is like, didn't you hear the apology? Which, by the way, not an apology.
No,
so,
it's not.
But they're dealing with Nene. So they're like, she did say sorry in there somewhere, you know. So
she used the same phonics that go into I'm sorry.
I heard it.
So Kenny's like, see, no, Riley. Hello, people. I'm trying to talk. Hello. People, I got something to say. Hello, people, I'm trying to talk, please.
And Marlo's like, just accept the apology. And Candy's like, will you accept the apology or not? And Candy goes, it's done. Let's just say it's done, okay? And so now they're all calm again. It's like suddenly they're like, okay, well, let's just talk. So then Nene tells us, I would never say things about a child. But, you know, when you're beefing, you say all kinds of things. You know, I never even realized I said that.
Mm-hmm. Funny.
So now it's over.
So now they're like, let's get back to this ridiculous, you know, tiara thing or crown thing. And Kenya just, like, does not want to do it anymore. And Portia's like, you've got to stay. Like, no, you don't have to worry. It doesn't have to be a beef. It can be a positive thing that you say about each other. Because basically Marlo has it on and Marlo wants to address Kenya. So, and Kenya does not want to deal with it. So finally she's like, okay, fine. So Marlo goes, I feel like what you did to my event, it deserves an apology. And Kenya's like, okay, I feel like I have to say a lot, because if you don't remember the things that you say and you do to me, I don't know where I can go from there, you know?
Yeah. She's like, things are off limits. My mother, my daughter, and you sit there after, and you want an apology now after you came in and tried to destroy me the way my family did. And Portia's like, she's right. And Marlo's like, no, let me speak to you for real. Now, I know you're good at acting. It's like, okay. So like, then Kenya's not... like, oh, God, enough. You know,
yeah.
So she gets up and leaves, and then Marlo's applauding her, like, great job, actress.
Yeah.
Kenya's great, like, job.
Kenya's like, do I look like I'm acting when I'm talking to you? I'm like, no, because you actually speak in a much more awkward and strange way when you try to act. So no, you don't look like you're acting.
Yeah. So Candy's like, sit down, come on, just finish it. And Candy tells her, stop being the person that walks away, just stop. So she runs after Kenya. And then Marlo's like, now listen, girls, I'll tell you right now, the things I said about her mother were awful. Awful.
Yeah. Okay. She's like, I apologize for it. It was wrong. Like, well, if you were going to apologize for it, why did you open it up with a barb, like a microaggression about her acting? Unless she was trying to cue up something like, I know you're a good actress, but in this case, I know you're being sincere. Like, but there was no indication that there was like a but after the actress comment, right? It's like, Marlo, that's not how you apologize either. You don't front load it with something that's going to make someone defensive and not be ready to hear your apology.
Yeah, and so Candy chases after Kenya, and then Kenya's like, I can't, and she's like slapping Candy away, being all dramatic. And I don't feel for you, Kenya, okay? I don't care if you're getting divorced. I don't care if somebody said something about your baby. Look at all the shit you do to other people, okay? So you should sit and have to take it too. And yes, everybody is attacking you, but you've attacked everybody. So
yeah.
Don't really feel for you.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that I feel for her, but I guess I understand her frustration. I mean, they literally filed for divorce like 3 days ago. Like, it's so fresh, and she has to go on this trip with someone she just, like, one or two people that she just hates, but someone that she really detests, someone who has her soon-to-be ex is back. I mean, this is like Nene and Mark are pals, and she has to sit there, and then she has her friends telling her to play nice with her, and then they're coming at her. And as awful as Kenya is, I can understand why she's just like, you know what? Fuck this. I can't. My fairy tale life that I put blinders on for the past two or three years is now falling apart, and I'm now the laughingstock of the internet and these women. It's all falling apart. I had to put on this facade. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And so I'm not saying that I have compassion in the sense of like she reaps what she sowed, but I understand why she's just like, fuck this.
Yeah. So she, you know, runs off. And then Nini's like, well, if this is how you want a dessert, honey, go to a bakery. Because that's how you bring dessert. Every time I hear, blah, 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 dessert, dessert, dessert.
Like, literally like no Nini sense.
Yeah.
It's like.
Well, she's saying she deserted them or whatever. But she,
oh, okay.
I think that's how I took it. Like, if you want dessert, honey, go to a bakery. I'm sick of your dessert. You dessert all the time.
Or maybe it was like the ruins party was supposed to be dessert after dinner. Or like this is the it was unclear. It was an unclear comic moment.
So Tanya throws her crown in the water, and then it's done. And then in the morning, Cynthia is doing some weird shit to her eggs.
Thank
really
you.
Sure.
Thank
like
you.
She's
making
she's
like
trying
flat
to eggs,
eggs
a la Francais because I think she's friends with Luann, but yeah, it's not really how
it's
you do
it. Some weird ass shit because at first, when you first see her, she looks like she's making standard scrambled eggs. There's like they're like fluffy and she's sort of moving them around, but then the very next shot, they are like flat like a crepe, and then she's got her spatula scraping into them. It's almost like she overcooked them and they were flat, and she's trying to scrape it off the pan. I was like, this is a woman who has never cooked an egg in her life.
And I think she was using a fork on the pan. Very bad for you, ma'am.
Yes. Oh,
so
my
then
goodness.
Tanya and Portia sit by the pool and talk about what a disaster last night was. And Tanya's like, but I believe in our intention. We were trying. Oh.
Yeah. And Portia's like, how are you doing this morning? She's wrecked. Oh, I'm so wrecked. I'm going to have to go back to Tanyanto to recover.
So Nini comes out dancing in her caftan. You know, because she basically went to sleep getting what she wanted, which was destroying Kenya.
Of course.
So she's
got her Legolas hair back. She's back in Legolas, pure Legolas.
Yeah, and there's something she's doing at night when she goes to the bathroom, because every morning she's like, wow, that was crazy, wasn't it? I thought Kenya might shoot me. I'm like, do you not remember anything that happens the next day? Like, what's her deal? She's so different at night than she is in the day.
She's basically like Mumra on Thundercats, right? Like, Mumra spends most of the show just like this decrepit, like, weird mummy figure. Like, I'm like, it's like Carol Radswell, like, I'm Mumra. But then, like, Mumra does something, right? Does Mumra have, like, a pool or some water or something like that like, gets activated? And then Mumra becomes like, Mumra! That's like Nini. Nini's Mumra.
I didn't watch Thundercats, and now I never will. So thank you for taking something away from me during quarantine.
Wow. I cannot even believe that.
I have enough Nini in my life.
I don't know how to respond to that. So you don't even understand about Lino and Panthro. And
nope.
Wow. Kit and Kat.
Guess what? I don't care. Okay. Wow. Although, now that you say Kit and Kat, I had Kit and Kat lemon flavored the other day. Quite delicious. Ate a whole bag. Thanks. Doing great.
You know what I did yesterday? Watched Cats. Not the movie, but the musical. And we'll circle back to that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because everyone's acting like the movie is so bad. And I'm like, do you remember the musical? Are we not remembering what this is based on, people? Come on.
There was literally towards the beginning, you know, that there's that white cat that like comes out and does like a solo dance number. And she is just doing yoga. And like, I guess in the 80s, it was like, ooh, like tree pose was like unheard of because yoga had not caught on. And so she's literally just doing tree pose. And it's like, ooh, the majesty. Oh, wow. A cat on one leg with another leg up in her crotch. Wow. Like, this is tree pose. This is dance.
Yep. There you go. Cats.
Cats.
Okay. So, speaking of, Nini comes out dancing.
Speaking of Grisabella.
Yeah. So then Cynthia and Kenya are talking. And Candy comes over. Cynthia and Candy go over to Kenya's house.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about last night. Like,
yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Kenya lost her flip-flops, by the way, in case anyone finds them. So now we have like a cross-cutting between the two groups, right? The Candy, Cynthia, Kenya, and then everyone else. So then we go back to Nini and Tanya, and Nini is asking Tanya if she felt like she had any closure with Kenya. And Kenya's like, well, it was going well until we got interrupted. And then you know, Portia's kind of like, no, like, she didn't get interrupted. No one interrupts Kenya. Okay. That she found a way to duck out of that conversation.
Yeah, Nini's like, and then she just left. Typical Kenya. I'm like, you left too. Do you not remember that? Like, you literally left the same fight. So Portia's like, well, my thing is with Cynthia, like, if you're not going to tell her the real issue you have, then don't bring it up. I mean, it's not like she's just teasing you. She's going for your business, and no one's going to come after hot dog hair care, honey. I'll tell you that right now.
Maybe Cynthia doesn't have a real issue with Kenya, because as far as I could tell, Kenya was shading her about her business. Cynthia wasn't really minding until the girls were like, you should really be upset about that. So then Cynthia was like, yeah, that is sort of annoying. So then she told Kenya, don't do that anymore. But they don't feel like basically she was assertive enough about it, even though that was more their issue than it was Cynthia's issue.
I know, but I love how all the girls are acting so innocent. Like, poor Kenya, let's be there for Kenya. When they're sitting here like, okay, Tanya, you were supposed to get her. You didn't get her. Well, that sucks.
Yes.
You know, Cynthia was supposed to get her, but she didn't get her. Well, that sucks. You know,
yeah.
They're all planning on going for Kenya. But that said, I see that, but Kenya deserves it in my mind. So then Tanya's like, well, why did she get so mad? And Nini says, I don't know. I mean, I said her hips were fake. So maybe that's why. And they all start cracking up.
So then meanwhile, Kenya's talking to the ladies about Nini. And she's like, I mean, Nini, you are 52 years old. You have to find a better way to communicate. True. Although Kenya is not the paragon of communication either. Okay. I think actually this entire group may need some tips on how to communicate. It's bad when Portia has suddenly become ascended to the role of like group communicator, that she can sort of like moderate or mediate these fights now that Portia's the one doing that. Something's off.
Yeah. And Cynthia's like, well, you know, I will say this, Kenya, last night Nini really was coming to show you some kindness. And when I say genuinely, I mean, I made her do it, and she didn't want to, but I made her. And Candy's like, that's bullshit. How can you say it's genuine when the first chance she gets, she hurts me? And Candy's like, yeah, but now she's, you know, now she's going to have all this because you said so much to her last night. Now she'll be able to hold that against you today, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And Kenya's like, she's basically like, did she call me? And Candy's like, well, she said it to you face to face. And she goes, well, she didn't reach out. And it's like, well, yeah, but even this week, Nini was trying to have a conversation with you before a conversation with Portia. And I mean, I will say that when it comes to things like this, like, did she call me? Did she call me? It's funny because if people don't get the call, they're like, oh, they didn't even call me. But then it's like, it is face to face. But then if someone gets the call, they say, well, they called me, but they didn't even give me the respect to talk to me face to face. So you can sort of like never win in those situations also. Not, I hate defending Nini, but, you know, when people start doing that thing, it can get annoying.
So then Tanya's like, well, she holds herself up to different standards, and that's not fair. And Portia's like, yeah, that Buffalo comment was a reach. So yeah, they're all basically planning on ganging up on Kenya, which is funny because they all have to choose one side, you know? Why can't you gang up on both of them? Like, why are you so okay to fix Nini or forgive Nini?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. So Portia's like, first night was the key. And now, you know, now Kenya's going to she's going to rest on the insults last night to be mad. I was like, well, those are like genuine things to rest on. I don't know why you're calling them resting on them, but...
Yes, but you know, but she's right though, because that's what happens with these feuds on the show. I mean, on all shows, but especially on this show, I feel like, which is that, like you said, this all started with some stupid Twitter thing, you know, because, you know, Kenya is always so good at delivering some shade on Twitter, and Nini falls into the trap each and every single time, like every single time, and Nini gets so mad, and then they have a feud, and then it could be squashed so easily, but instead Nini does something, and then Kenya, as soon as Nini does something, Kenya is just all too happy to then play the victim in some way. Like, oh my God, this is what she said about me. And then that's a big feud. And the point is that whatever was the initial problem gets forgotten about, because now you have like a simulacrum of insults over and over and over again. So now the new fight is going to be about what Nini did last night to Kenya, as opposed to really what the core of it was.
I know. So, they need to have rules, because I'm so sick of having to remember what happened last season. It's like, okay, you're mad at something. It's too much. It's too hard. I need a Venn diagram.
Checklist. We need a checklist of like things that need to be apologized for.
And when they don't even remember them, you know, when like you are reaching back for the Buffalo comment, it's like, oh my God, you have to reach back that far? She said shit about you this season you can use. I cannot. Yeah.
So Cynthia's
like, well, why don't we just all force it down? Because that always works. Yeah. And so Candy's like, listen, people in this group have got over worse things than you guys, than your fight. And she's like, I never had a husband. I never had a child. And she went for both. And she's like, well, you've never been accused of rape. So Candy's I have to sit down and talk to Portia.
Yeah, Candy's like, I guess because you couldn't read between the lines of what I said in my last comment that people have gotten over way worse things, I'll just spell it out for you. I was accused of rape by Portia, okay? And we're on a trip together, so get over it, bitch.
Yeah, and I get what she's saying, because yes, she did have to speak to Portia, but it's not like they're letting Phaedra back on the show or anything.
True.
Like, how far does this forgiveness last, really? Yeah. Are you totally fine with Phaedra now, too?
Well, the difference is that Phaedra, you know, Phaedra was cunning, and Nini and Candy aren't really cunning. You know, Kenya, I think, is shrewd in what she does, and she's shrewd in being able to manipulate a situation so that way she's the victim. But she doesn't work at that high level of Phaedra in terms of hatching plots that are so intense that people can literally wind up in jail because of them.
I don't know about that. I think Kenya's pretty cunning.
You think she's as cunning as Phaedra?
Well, no one is as cunning as Phaedra. I mean,
it's true.
Phaedra's one of the masters, you know.
Although, I'm not saying I like that. Yeah.
But yeah, she's the lowest for sure.
Although I also don't know exactly how cunning Phaedra is. I mean, we elevate her up to this level of this, like, this mastermind. But it's more like she just surrounds herself with people who are a lot dumber than she is. So then she sort of looks a lot more cunning than perhaps she is. It's kind of like, if I say, here's a plan. Hey, buddy, why don't you go rob that bank? Most people say, no, why would I do that? But if you got a real dumb person who says, okay, I'll do that, then I look like a mastermind, but I just made a very stupid request and someone was dumb enough to follow it.
Yeah, I'll give you $5 to steal $5 million. Like, okay, do you want me to give you a baby too before I go to prison? Okay, sounds great. I'm in.
Yeah, doesn't make you like that cutting and sharp. It just means that you just were smart enough to find dumb people around
you. Yeah, you're better at hiring, basically.
You're really good with personnel.
Yeah, so Candy is like, look, I had to get over it with Portia, you know? So guess what? I don't care. We're going to have fun today, okay? And, you know, I was on Big Brother with Lindsay's mom, and Lindsay has a club here. I was like, oh, yeah.
I was like, that was a pivot I was not expecting.
Yeah, you're going to Greece to publicize the Lohan Beach Club? Really? This is why we chose Greece?
I didn't even realize that club existed outside the TV show. I thought that once that show was done, like, the Lohan Beach Club was turned back into what it was before, which was, like, the Lohan, you know, muffler stores, whatever it is over there. But so Candy says that she wants to do a whole bunch of fun team building games, which mainly I'm like immediately dreading that. I'm just having flashbacks to like every year on Married to Medicine when Dr. Simone shows up in some strangely patterned asymmetric bathing suit being like, today we're gonna find seashells, and every shell that you find has to match with another shell, and if you can't match the shells, then you don't have a good relationship.
Well, it kind of was that. So everybody goes to get ready to go to this thing, and then they all jump on the van to go to this team building exercise.
Yeah.
And they announce, is this when they announce they're having a goddess part? Does it really matter?
Yeah. It's sort of in the mix here. Maybe later. I don't know. But somewhere on one of the van rides, there's a goddess party announcement. All I know is that Candy falls asleep in the van sitting up, and they all think that she's awake, and then they realize that she's asleep, which is so Candy.
So we get to Lohan Seaside, and Panos is there. Oh, hello. It is me, Panos. It's like, oh, geez. This queen really works.
Was he from the show?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the show?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's the main guy on the show. He's like the... Well, I guess Peter. He's kind of... Lohan is the Lisa Vanderpump of the show, but he's basically the Lisa Vanderpump. He's the one that works. Lindsay's just like,
The Guillermo.
He has a big part. Peter doesn't have a big part.
Oh, so he's like, he's almost like Tom Sandoval if Tom Tom and Sir were the same restaurant.
Yeah, he's the one who's like, you know what? Lindsay won't like this. I'm going to have to tell Lindsay. Then he calls a meeting and Lindsay has to, you know, drag herself off the bathroom floor. You know, he's like, get your nose off the bathroom floor, Lindsay. It's time to go. And she's like, I want better for my people. Brilliant show.
So anyway, they get there and the women, she's going to sort of oversee these activities, and she splits everyone into teams. It's Kenya and Tanya, Nini and Portia, and Cynthia and Marlo. And they're going to be doing, these like fun little activities. Like the first one it's almost like from Survivor, where one person is blindfolded and has to, they have to walk around a chair. And it's like, see now, Riley, you have to sit on the chair and then walk around the chair. And then you have to step on a disc with your left foot and then step on the disc with your right foot. And then you have to build a business proposal for Todd's New Mexican restaurant and then step on the left disc and then another right disc and then on the chair again.
She basically just stole games from Big Brother. Did you notice that?
I noticed that. I was like, this feels so Big Brother. She actually did them better. Like, the production quality was actually better than the Big Brother games, to be honest.
See, that one where they have to link up arms and then go get water and then come back and fill up the water jugs? I mean, that's like straight out of Big Brother, Candy. Come on. Like, we know you were on Big Brother, but come on. Like, you go on Big Brother and you hatch some plan with Lohan to come shoot in this fucking club, and now you're doing Big Brother games? Like, what is going on here? Is Candy getting money from Dina to do all this? This is weird.
I was just wondering why there wasn't like a phallic object spitting like milk at them or something, because that would be truly...
They knew that Marla would win that one. That would just be blatantly unfair.
Basically, one person's a caller and telling the blindfolded person, okay, to the left or the right. And Marlo is just like standing there. Cynthia's trying to yell at her, and Marlo is standing there like the twins in The Shining. She's just like, welcome to the game. You know, like,
yeah.
It's just very scary.
I didn't take a lot of notes in this part because I was like, oh, thank God I can stop taking notes for a while.
That's like literally all I wrote down. I just wrote down that Marlo looked like both of the twins in The Shining standing together. Like if someone told those twins to do a team building exercise, this is what it would have been. Marlo standing in the water waiting for direction.
This is what this scene looked like to me. Whatever was on Instagram, because that's what I was doing while the scene was playing. I was like, I wonder how everybody's dealing with bikini buying during the coronavirus.
There were some funny parts, like, you know, Cynthia being just terrible at all these things was hilarious. You know, and then Marlo makes her sit down on the stool, but intentionally tells her to sit down away from the stool so she falls on her ass. And then Nini's titty just goes, like, flopping out at all times. It's just, like, this big, like... It looked like a paddle on a pinball machine, right? Like, right at the bottom where the ball... Like, you have to hit the ball up again. It was just, like, flapping up and down. Like, there should have been a button on Nini to make her titty just, like, flap. And then... When they got into, did you watch when they went like back when they did the back to back thing?
Yeah.
Watching Portia just yank Nini around was hilarious to me. Cause you know me, I hate these team building, you know, segments of wacky games. But Portia just dragged Nini all around that beach. It was kind of amazing.
She really did. I forgot how strong Portia was. It took me back to that reunion where she dragged Kenya across the floor by her weave.
I mean, she picked up Nini and was like, bitch, we're going for it. It's just like, zoom. It was amazing.
And Tanya and Kenya actually worked together really well. They're like, let's just walk sideways. Duh.
Yeah, they figured it out.
After that, everyone's like, oh my God, we're sisters. And then after that, everybody goes to get ready for their big goddess party.
Yeah. So it's now we're back at the villa, and Cynthia goes into Candy's room in this, like, of course, like, looking beautiful in this, like, gray, shimmering goddess dress. And she's like, Goddess of cheekbones. Goddess of cheekbones. Also, the goddess of Jael.
Jael. The Jael goddess. Yeah. So Candy decides that they're going to do some Greek theater tonight, and they're going to play Nini and Cynthia having a talk since they, or Nini and Kenya having a talk since they refused to do it themselves, which just sounds like a great idea, guys. Sounds like this is going to work out in your favor.
Yeah, because Candy's like, she's like, see now, Riley, if you're going to Greece, you have to have a goddess party. I mean, that's what they're known for. Mythology. Hello. I don't know why that was so funny to me, her saying that's what they're known for. Mythology. Hello. So she wants to do a, she said she wants to do a Greek tragedy with Cynthia where they, I think as you just said, where they play Nini and Kenya. She wants to do a Greek tragedy because she said she wants to make them everyone laugh. I'm like, you know that's not how tragedies work, right? You know that's like literally a different genre, right?
And then she's trying to feed lines to Cynthia, which aren't really very good lines. She just says, look, honey, a lot. So say that. Look, honey, I've been trying to talk to you, and then you're saying everything's just fine. And Cynthia's like, please don't get me murdered. please why do I have to do, please don't make me be the one to do this, please.
Yeah, and then like Candy's gonna be doing Kenya's like palm thing that she does, like a little karate chop, which I never noticed but is so true that she totally does this thing with her hand. And so they're like, okay, this could be fun. So Cynthia's like, okay, I'm gonna go downstairs to get a drink so I can quote unquote stay in character. And so Candy laughs at her joke. She goes, ah! And then the scene just cuts off on her going,
So next, Candy is standing at the buffet, which is covered in tinfoil, and trying to eat stuff on it, but then the cats keep coming up and trying to get it. So it's like shooing cats away.
I know. I was like, get out of there, Grisabella.
Yeah. And she's like, you're not even our guest. It's like Sheree, or it's like Nini trying to get into Sheree's party.
Yes.
So then all the girls arrive, and Portia's like, who cooked? And then Nini's slopping sangria around all over the floor because she's Nini, and that's how she does, you know?
And then they have a little activity where Kenya and Candy were going to give everyone goddess names, but they were like, you know what? For the first time in the history of this show, we realize that this will just be too incendiary, so everyone gets to name themselves. So Portia chose Aphrodite because she's the goddess of love and beauty. And Candy, of course, is, I don't know how to pronounce this. Is it Tiche? Teach?
Tisha?
T-Y-C-H-E. Tiche?
I don't know. I have a friend named Tisha, so I'm going to go with Tisha.
Goddess of fortune.
Because she's the goddess of fortune, prosperity, and taco trucks.
Goddess of fortune, prosperity, and brunch spinoff restaurants.
Yeah, and Kenya's Athena because she has wisdom and her real hair would never wear a wig.
Yeah. And Nini's like, girl, if you had any wisdom, you would have made up with me a long time ago. I'm like, I don't know. A lot of people have made up with you, and it still hasn't worked out so well for them.
Well, this whole Greek trip, it totally makes sense now why Nini is dressed like the guy from Little Caesars in her confessional.
Yes.
That wig with the bangs. It's like, that's pizza, true. Pizza. Like, it hit me watching this.
Peanut.
Pop, pop, pop. Like, it's why is that guy spitting pizzas out of people?
That Little Caesars guy with his amazing jaw skills.
So Nini, so Cynthia's like, Athena is also the goddess of war. And Nini's like, I am Iso, which is Eos.
Eos.
She's like, he's the goddess of disease. I'm the goddess Jeff Bezos. I cost $100 a year, but you don't have to pay for shipping.
Marlo is Artemis, goddess of the hunt. Artemis is like one of my least favorite of like the major 12 gods and goddesses. I'm like, Marlo, choose better. Tanya is Hebe, goddess of youth. Is it Hebe or Hebe? I don't know. Cynthia is Hera, goddess of marriage. Hera, goddess of marriage, and also the goddess of microphones, hashtags. As in open mic. Open mic coming soon.
The goddess of hashtags.
Goddess of kitchen islands.
And Cynthia's like, hello, who's getting married now? And she like shows her ring to the camera and she goes, who's thirsty now? Not Hera.
I just want everyone to know that in Greek mythology, Hera's married to Zeus, and they have a long history of Zeus cheating on Hera. Like,
yeah.
Like it's basically, I feel like every other myth is Hera finds out that Zeus turned himself into a swan so he could have sex with a lady, and then she goes and turns the lady into like a piece of moss or something like that. It's always, it's like everything is like Hera's like, fuck this.
Zeus did a lot of fucking around.
Yeah, like I think Hera's not a great one. Maybe be like Dionysus. Just have fun. Drink wine. She should be Dionysus. She has the freaking wine cellar. I literally just got so mad right now. I have to calm myself down.
So Nini's like, well, I wouldn't eat none of that. There's cats up there, you know, because there's cats trying to eat the food. And she's like, well, I wouldn't eat that anyway. Okay.
Candy's like, I am over these cats. I'm like, hasn't the movie gone through enough? Come on.
Yeah. And Portia says, this place got more pussy than a brothel. So now they announce that they're in Greece. So Candy's like, you know, I got a roll on the chai. So
in case you didn't know.
Yeah, in case you haven't heard, on the chai. So they did Greek theater in Greece. And so right now, Cynthia and I would like to perform a Greek tragedy. And
Tana goes, amazing! You're our muses.
Yeah. Because you're our muses, Cynthia's going to be Nini, and I will be Kenya. And Kenya and Nini both, of course, look totally pissed. And Portia's just like, no! Abort mission! No!
So Nini's like, the tragedy is being on this trip to Greece with Kenya. So she's not happy at all. And Candy is like, well, or Cynthia, they're basically like, well, since Nini and Kenya won't have conversations, we are going to be you guys, and we will have the conversation. And Nini and Kenya just have the biggest dank faces on. They're like, oh, fuck these bitches. Like, it's bad enough that we are, like, that we are subjected to this, and now they're going to do this, and they're, in a sense, it's kind of like, they're angry that they're going to, they sense that they're going to be mocked, and they're going to be pitted against each other. But also, I feel like on a certain level, like the Nini Kenya makeup scene will be a big scene, and in a weird way, Candy and Cynthia are taking it over. So that's probably also some of their stank.
Yeah, and so Kenya tries to pretend that she's okay with it. She's like, "I'm gonna record this." I was like, "That is going straight to the lawyer. Like, she's live streaming this right now to her lawyer."
Yes. So, so suddenly Nini's like, "Well, she's like, girl, I've gotta go pee." So she gets up to leave, and she's like, well, it's okay. I don't have to be here for this. You guys let me know how it goes. So now everyone's like, oh, well, now this was fun, but now it's not fun anymore because she left.
Yeah, and then we see Nini yelling at the producers because there's a group of producers trying to keep her there. And she's like, listen, who the fuck do you think you are? What are you going to try and guard me and tell me what to do? Don't fuck with me. I'm being real here. Do not fuck with me. And I was like, Nini, do you really need to punch another producer?
Seriously. And then Kenya's like, I think Nini is terrified to see herself and the monster she has been to me.
So Portia goes, what number is she going? Is she going number one or number two or number three? Because number three is when that bathroom was in Atlanta, honey.
Yeah. And then we have a montage of Nini leaving parties.
Nini leaving montage.
So then Kenya's like, well, I'm going to check on the baby. And now, like, and Cynthia's like, child, I was only going to represent her in the best light possible, which is the light of a kitchen island, which is a new island in Greece. I don't know what I'm talking about. Child, I'm just trying to improvise. Theater.
Yeah, so this trip ends on a big fail. But you guys can't prove that you can do a show without Nini and Kenya while you insist on making Nini and Kenya the center of everything at all times. Like, it's a bad move by the cast. Like, you shouldn't be giving, no one cares if Kenya and Nini make up. Like, literally nobody cares. Nobody needs it in their life. So try and prove that you can be interesting on your own. You know, when these idiots go to bed, stay up and do something fun, you know? It's like they just keep giving the show up to them.
Well, I mean, it's a good rivalry. I enjoy it because they are kind of like the two queens of the show in a sense. What's funny, there's several different queens on the show, but they're like the two big marquee names, I would argue, on the show. So it's like watching Godzilla and Mothra go at it for people who care about that. You know, it's just, it's like an epic war. And, you know, what is the latest in this epic war? But that being said, I will continue to say, Nini, her time is up. The show does not need her. It gets more annoying with her. And she can be very, very funny. And she has moments where you really do, like, love her again. But ultimately, Kenya is the villain that the show needs. And Nini is irrelevant.
Yeah, like, get rid of her.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Well, you guys, thank you for listening. Stay inside, otherwise I'm going to berate you more. And we'll be back on our next episode to discuss Shaws of Sunset. Oh, and I didn't even mention at the top of the episode, but in case you're wondering, if you subscribe, you already know this. Due to everyone being so cool about it and everyone, you know, just we had such a great response to our Love is Blind bonus episode, and we decided, you know what, we are just making that available to everyone. It is no longer a Patreon exclusive, so go check it out. It's on the feed. But we did record another bonus episode to check in on Project Runway and Family Karma and Below Deck selling yacht, you know, to make up for us putting this one on the main feed. So go check that out, everyone, and we will talk to you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.